When I grew up in Memphis, Tennessee, one of the big things during my days of growing up was wrestling. On Saturday mornings, there was about a two-hour wrestling program. And every Monday night at the Mid-South Coliseum, there was wrestling bouts. And I bet you I've gone to 20 or 30 or 40 of those wrestling matches over the years. There were all kinds of guys that used to wrestle. Tojo Yamamoto. Big guy. Strong guy. Another guy, Jerry Lawler. Not just Jerry Lawler, Jerry the King Lawler. He even purchased him a huge, what do you call it, a crown to put on his head. And he's got it there in his hand. Another one, Jackie Fargo. And many of you may know this guy, Hulk Hogan. He was big in Memphis at that particular time. Folks, wrestling is still a popular sport, is it not? You can turn on television on Monday nights and guess what? WWE is there. They even have pay-per-view now. They hold these big ordeals and you pay $40, $50, $60 and you get to watch 4 or 5 hours of wrestling. They also still fill arenas and coliseums with wrestling matches, don't they? You see, wrestling is a very popular sport. What's interesting is wrestling is also very popular in the scripture. In fact, we find 4 wrestling matches in the pages of God's Word. One of those wrestling matches is literal. It involved a man by the name of Jacob. The Bible says, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. It was a literal wrestling match between Jacob and an opponent on that particular evening. Another wrestling match is found back in Genesis chapter 30, verse 8. The reason I put it second is because it's not a literal wrestling match. It is a relationship wrestling match between 2 sisters, one named Leah and the other named Rachel. The Bible says, and Rachel said, I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. We'll come back to that in a little bit. There's 2 other wrestling matches that are mentioned, and they are spiritual in nature, and they're found in the New Testament. One of them is wrestling against Satan's evil forces. Paul writes in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. My friends, you and I as Christians are in a wrestling match of a spiritual nature with the evil forces of Satan. Jude also mentions a wrestling match, although the word wrestling is not found in this particular verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That little word contend, if you look it up, literally means wrestling. To earnestly wrestle for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This morning, the subject of our lesson is Bible wrestling matches. You didn't even have to pay for this one. It's free. Got 4 bouts that we're going to be talking about. Let's go back and let's talk about Jacob and the angel. We could study each one of these 4 accounts separately, could we not? But what we're going to do is we're just going to briefly go through them, look at what transpired, and make some application of these wrestling matches in our lives. Jacob versus the angel. Folks, this particular wrestling match, the Bible says, lasted until the break of day. Genesis 32, verse 24. It's interesting because Jacob, during the course of this wrestling match, was injured, verse 25. The Bible says that the man touched his thigh and his thigh was thrown out of joint. It wasn't just an easy wrestling match. Here is a man who comes out on the other side having suffered injury therefrom. We find too that during the course of this match, even though he was injured, Jacob would not let go of this individual. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to quit, Jacob says, till ye bless me. We find too that during the course of this wrestling match, Jacob's name was changed. The name Jacob literally means supplanter or deceiver. Isn't that a nice name for your mother to give you? But on this particular occasion, as he wrestled with this individual, the man said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob. It shall be called Israel." Interesting name change. We'll come back and talk about it just a little bit. Notice also, the Bible says that after the event was over, or as the event was nearing the end, Jacob had power both with man and with God. And folks, there's the name Israel. Power with God. What a name change, was it not? Here was a man who's a supplanter, a deceiver, a liar to other individuals, and all of a sudden, during this wrestling match, his name is changed. No longer are you a deceiver. Now you are what? Now you are one who prevails with God. What a beautiful name change. Also, on this occasion, Jacob received a blessing from this individual, verse 29. And in verse 30, Jacob names the place Peniel. And he gives the reason why. "For I have seen God face to face." Wow. He realized after this match was over that this was not just a man. This was a very unique being. In fact, the presence of this individual was the angel of the Lord and was none other than deity himself. He had wrestled with God that night and had prevailed. You and I can make some application of Jacob's wrestling match with that angelic being to our wrestling match in prayer to the Almighty God. Point number one, in prayer, we latch on to God, do we not? Last week in our question and answers, we talked about prayer and how deity is involved in prayer. And we noted the one to whom we go as we express ourselves in prayer, and the one to whom we address our prayer is God the Father, is it not? "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The moment that you and I bow our heads in prayer, we latch ourselves to the Almighty God, and we hold Him just as tight as we possibly can. And my friends, the reason we go to God in prayer, is it not, is because we desire a blessing from Him. We may have a need in our life. We may have a need in someone else's life. We may have a problem that we're dealing with. And we go to the Almighty God. Why? Because we stand in need of blessing and desire one. That is exactly what Jacob said. "I will not let you go till you have blessed me." And folks, we should wrestle with God until He blesses us in prayer. Notice thirdly, prayer can take a toll on us. You know, we always, or at least we almost always, talk very positively about prayer, don't we? But you see, prayer is not really an easy thing to involve ourselves in. If you and I pray the way we ought, many times you and I are going to spend hours in prayer. The wrestling match that Jacob involved himself in lasted the entirety of a night. Sometimes we do not immediately get the blessing that we desire from God, do we? We ask and we think we ought to have it immediately. We should have it in a day or two, or a three, or four, or five. And yet what we find is you and I have to keep wrestling with God about this particular matter until the blessing finally comes. In fact, sometimes we even find ourselves doubting God, don't we, because of prayer. We pray and nothing happens. We pray and we get something else rather than the thing that we desire. And we begin to doubt ourselves. We begin to doubt our faith. We begin to doubt God Almighty. Folks, that is one of the toils that takes place in prayer. It is not an easy activity. Notice fourthly, in prayer, we are changed, or at least we ought to be, shouldn't we? We go to God in prayer as a sinner, and we come out as a forgiven, cleansed individual. We go to God in prayer as one who is hopeless and in despair, and we come out of prayer with great hope and with great animation, knowing that God has heard us. We go into prayer weak and frail, and we come out strong and ready to face the battle, don't we? We go into prayer without a blessing, and we come out of a prayer with a blessing. You see, prayer is designed to change man, just as Jacob was changed to Israel. In prayer, we are blessed, aren't we? One of the things that we need to do is keep a prayer journal. Did you know that? You need to log on all the things for which you pray. Because you see, in the course of time, what you're going to find is how many of those things are ultimately answered by God. And just put the date that you received the blessing. You see, folks, God is there. He wants to bless. He desires to bless. And sometimes we ask, we get, but we don't recognize the fact that God has given us the desires of our heart. But you see, in prayer we are blessed. And then notice this, folks. Just as Jacob realized he was in the presence of God, that is exactly where you and I go in prayer, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Oh, physically, we're still here on earth, aren't we? But we bow our heads, we address God, and immediately you and I are standing in the throne room of the Almighty God. We are in the presence of the divine. What a blessing that we receive in our wrestling with God. Let's look now, secondly, at Lee and Rachel. I told you we're going to fly through these, okay? Wouldn't you like to have seen the wrestling match that took place between Lee and Rachel? It's one thing to watch two men wrestle. It's another thing to watch two women. Now, see, I got some women laughing. They know exactly what I'm talking about. And these two girls had a wrestling match with one another. Let's go back and let's talk about what transpired and why the wrestling match even occurred. First, Jacob leaves his home and he goes in search for a wife, doesn't he? He meets up with his uncle by the name of Laban and he meets one of the daughters, Rachel. She's a beautiful woman and he desires to marry her and he agrees, I will work 7 long years for this woman. And yet, the Bible says, the time seemed extremely short. However, at the end of those 7 years, when he woke up after his wedding night, he found that he had not been given Rachel. He had been given Leah. I still scratch my head about that. But that's what happens. He goes back to Laban and he asks, what in the world have you done to me? Why haven't I received Rachel? He said, it's not the custom to give the younger before the older. You have to take the older first. Then you can have Rachel if what? If you'll work 7 long years. Now, folks, I bet that second 7 didn't move quite as quickly as that first 7, don't you? 14 years, and finally, he has a wife by the name of Rachel. Now, the problem between the women didn't start until Leah began to bear children. In fact, Leah bears the first 4 children of Jacob, doesn't she? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. And the Bible says that when Rachel saw that she was bearing children, that Rachel envied Leah. She came up with a plan and she says, I'm going to give my handmaid, Bilhah, to Jacob, and he can bear children for me. So Jacob has a relationship with Bilhah, and guess what? Two children are born of that relationship. The second one's name was Naphtali. The first was Dan. And it's interesting that when she had that second child, she named him Naphtali, which means wrestlings. And that's when she said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. Question. Can you and I have wrestling matches in relationships with other people? Absolutely. Now, we're about to make application of this to our lives, and I'm sticking strictly within the confines of a church. But it doesn't have to be in the confines of a church, does it? I can have relationship problems at work. We can have relationship problems at school. We can have relationship problems in our homes. We can have relationship problems in every place wherein we find interaction with others, can't we? But we're going to stay strictly in the confines of the church. And let's look at just a few of them, folks. The first one is this. Wrestling among leadership. It can transpire, can it? Sometimes the wrestling involves sin. I remember the very first work that I was ever involved in. I've been there maybe 3 or 4 weeks and met a few members of the church, and I thought, I really need to get out. I need to see some of these folks. So I went over to these people's house, and they were the friendliest people, an older couple. And during the course of our conversation, here's what they told me. We are swingers. Folks, that's not slingers like on TV. Didn't have that kind of television back then. We are swingers. I thought, are you kidding me? I'm glad they didn't invite me to anything. But I went back to an elders meeting and I told the elders, I said, these guys have told me that they're engaged in swinging. You know what the elders said? We know about that situation. And we don't want you to ever visit them again. We'll deal with that. They didn't deal with nothing. What they meant was, we've already swept that under the rug, preacher. We know what's going on, and we're not dealing with it. Can that create a problem in leadership? Yes. Here's a preacher who sees that as sin, needs to be dealt with. Here's an eldership who doesn't want to deal with it. Folks, all of a sudden, we've got a what? We've got a wrestling match between the leadership, don't we? It's easy to do. Sometimes sermons cause wrestling matches, don't they? I've been amazed at how much chaos and how much controversy and how much conversation has been created by one sermon on clicks. If I've heard it once, I've heard clicks for the last 3 weeks. Click, click, click. It's just been unbelievable. I preached one sermon. Don't click. We're going to finish it up tonight, so come back. You see, people get all bent out of shape over sermon. Click! Why are you talking about clicks? People can get upset about preaching style. I've got a friend of mine who preached at a congregation for several years, and he always memorized the entirety of his lessons. Verses, everything. One day he stood up, and he was going to preach on Goliath and David. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. I believe there's 58 verses that are there. He memorized the entire chapter. Folks, that takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication. And he preached the entirety of that lesson, quoted the entire chapter during the course of that lesson. His elders called him in and said, you're trying to just boost yourself up by memorizing all those verses like that. We don't want you memorizing verses anymore. So he went to reading verses. We had him at a congregation 2 times. The first time was when he was very skilled and very, memorized his lessons. He came back the second time, read everything. Folks, there was a huge difference in the way he preached the first time versus the second time. You want to know what the difference was mainly? Second time, low energy. He had no enthusiasm. He had no desire anymore. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Over what? Over preaching style. Okay? You see, it can happen in all kinds. Control. Let's look at members. Sometimes members can have problems in congregations. Maybe they're in sin, or maybe their family member is in sin, and all of a sudden the church wants to confront that. Well, that immediately causes issues, does it not? And there can be wrestling matches that stir between members. All you have to do is change a little something, and you're going to have a wrestling match, aren't you? Let's change Vacation Bible School from Sunday to Wednesday to 5 Tuesdays. We can't do that. Well, let's cancel Wednesday night because we're going to do Tuesday VBS. Cancel Wednesday. People just go crazy over a little change, don't they? You see, these relationship wrestling matches are unbelievable. Sometimes two individuals can have personality problems, can they not? You ever had a person that just kind of rubs you the wrong way? Yeah, the preacher does it every Sunday. How about this? Can we have problems with our community as far as relationships are concerned? Absolutely. We stand for the truth. We oppose their error. Guess what? There's relationship problems, are they not? Oh, y'all are those people who... Have we ever heard that before? Sure. You think you are, and they finish the statement, don't they? You see, there's relationship issues. Sometimes you walk out, they know who you're from, they shun you. They make fun of you. They mock you. They talk down to you. All because you stand for the truth. You see, sometimes even the community is going to have problems with you because you are a member of the church and faithful to God Almighty. Relationship struggles can be a wrestling match. Let's talk now thirdly about spiritual wrestling. Because folks, this is where it gets extremely serious. The others are. But you see, you and I also wrestle against Satan, don't we? I love the way Paul starts the verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And folks, in churches, we too wrestle against spiritual wickedness, don't we? You see, you and I sometimes have to wrestle against the concept of gossip. Christians have to wrestle against sexual sins, whether those sins be lust, whether they be adultery, whether they be homosexuality. You see, we are not immune from the flesh. We are not immune from the temptations that Satan throws against us. And you find members of the church battling against those kind of sins. I found individuals battling financial struggles, haven't you? Extortion. I've known of preachers taking money from the church treasury. That blows your mind, doesn't it? Church secretaries finagling ways to find money and take that money. Maybe they have some kind of a little pot that she can take from during the course of a week, and rather than turning in the receipt, she just keeps the money. Tax evasion. I knew a preacher who evaded taxes 5 years. Can you believe that? The Bible says pay your taxes, doesn't it? We're to render tribute to the magistrates. And yet here he hadn't paid taxes in 5 years. Late bills. Folks, listen to me. If you buy something, if you borrow something, you pay that back as a Christian. That's what being honest is all about. It's unbelievable. How about this? Sins of the tongue. We've already mentioned gossip because that's big in many congregations. Folks, there's other kinds. False witness. Lying, being a person of a sharp tongue who just likes to criticize and just likes to destroy the character of others. You see, in congregations of the Lord's people, we wrestle against Satan, don't we? And the counsel that Paul gives us in this particular verse, especially verse 11, is this: put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In the wrestling match that we are engaged in with Satan, you and I have to gird ourselves with the Word of God. And we've got to fight with every fiber of our being against these kind of sins and others. That's just the short list, folks. We also find ourselves at times having to wrestle against false teachers. That's what Jude's talking about in Jude 3. I find it interesting that Jude was going to preach a sermon or write a book about a very nice topic, wasn't it? The common salvation. Wouldn't that have been wonderful to have that in our possession? But he hears about the false teachers who have entered into the church, and rather than writing about the common salvation, he says, it's needful for me to write you and exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith, to wrestle for the faith. Folks, sometimes false teachers can be found in congregations. Did you know that? Maybe they're a teacher in a Bible class. Maybe they're just a member of the church who likes to raise their hand and insert their false doctrine from time to time. Maybe they're a brand new individual that you don't know a whole lot about, and all of a sudden you find out that this particular individual is engulfed in numerous false doctrines. Sometimes false teachers are just in the area. And that makes it bad too, because you see, oftentimes these men may have been in the area for a long period of time, and they have close ties to members of the congregation. In fact, sometimes those ties are so close that they are family bonds one with another. Can you imagine a 300 or 400 member congregation in a rural area in whose congregation, a young man grows up, becomes a minister of the gospel, moves right down the road to a large congregation, and there begins to preach false doctrine, folks? That's tough on that home congregation. Did you know that? Because of all the close ties that are there, it becomes a wrestling match, not just with the false teacher, but also with those individuals who love him and care about him and want to support him. And then we find false teachers in the brotherhood. And folks, they're tough to deal with as well, because you see, many of these men are well known, they're well educated, they're individuals that many members have had associations with in times past. They just can't wrap their minds around the fact that these individuals are false teachers. And Brother Reubel Shelley was departing from the faith in 1982. I moved to Eastland, Texas. And I preached about a book that he had written, made direct quotes from that book to show that he was departing from the faith. And the preacher who was there confronted me at the end of that lesson. He says, "Vic, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know Reubel Shelley. Reubel Shelley's a smart man, a good man. He's done great things for the brotherhood." And folks, up to that time, he had. Now, what's interesting is about 20 years later, that preacher calls me. I'm living in Memphis at the time. He says, "Vic, I want you to know that what you said about Brother Shelley's true, and I was wrong back then." At least he was willing to admit he was wrong, wasn't he? But you see, folks, even preachers that are false teachers in the brotherhood can create havoc in congregations. I find it interesting at the very close of Jude's letter, he gives us members some interesting ways to handle these false teachers. Now, here's something we need to realize. When we wrestle false teachers, that's a spiritual warfare, folks. And we can apply these same things not only against wrestling false teachers, but just wrestling Satan and sin in general. He tells us to do 5 things. Number one, he tells us to build up our most holy faith. Verse 20. Number two, he says, "I need you to pray in the Holy Ghost." Thirdly, he says, "I need you to keep yourselves in the love of God." And folks, we do that by obedience to the truth, don't we? If you love me, keep my commandments. Number four, he says, "Develop your hope, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ with eternal life." Folks, this world is not all there is. This world is short. This world is brief. This world one day is going to be destroyed, is it not? Why engulf ourselves in the cares and the carnal things of this world? Why not put our hopes upon the mercy we're going to receive at judgment and then be ushered into eternal life. And then I find it interesting that he says, when it comes to these spiritual wrestling matches, you need to tag team with one another. He doesn't say that in the verse. But he says this, of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, snatching them out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by the flesh. You see, there are members of the church who need us. They're influenced by false teachers. They're influenced by sin. They begin to depart from the faith. He says, some of those you can save with compassion. Some of those you can go to them, talk to them, and just tell them, look, you need to come back. And because of our compassion, they come back. But listen to what he says. But others save with fear, snatching them out of the fire. Let me ask you something. If your kid is about to fall into fire, do you care how much you hurt him to get him away from the fire? Not much. You're going to jerk that kid up. You're going to knock him to the ground. You're going to do whatever you can do in order to keep that individual from being burned in that fire. And that's what Jude says we must do sometimes. Folks, sometimes you got to save people with fear. You got to snatch them out of the fire, lest they die and their soul is condemned. Wrestling is fun to watch as a sport. At least I like to watch it. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? But folks, let me tell you something. Wrestling is a difficult spiritual sport, isn't it? You see, we wrestle with God in prayer. Sometimes we wrestle in our relationships, one with another. We wrestle against the forces of Satan himself. We wrestle against false teachers. As I was studying for this lesson, what I found interesting was this. Jesus wrestled in all four areas. Did you know that? All four areas. Did Jesus wrestle with God in prayer? As he entered into the garden, the Bible says that he spoke these words, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And when he prayed to the Father, what did he say? "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Folks, he's wrestling with God in that prayer, is he not? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Did Jesus ever have to wrestle in relationships with other people? He even wrestled in his relationships with his apostles, did he not? "All of you are going to deny me." What did Peter say? "No, I ain't." That's terrible English, Peter. But he says, "I'm not going to deny you." Jesus calls him in and he tells him, "Peter, I've prayed for you. And after you've done your dastardly deed, I pray you're converted and that you're faithful again." We all know what transpired, don't we? Three times Peter denied the Christ. And on that third time, Jesus turned and looked upon him. He heard him, saw him, knew what he was doing. After Jesus was raised from the dead, Peter and Jesus had another confrontation, did they not? Three times Jesus asked the man, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep." Folks, there's a relationship issue that developed between Peter and Jesus in the course of their time together. We see, too, that Jesus wrestled with Satan, did he not? Matthew chapter 4, there Jesus is in the wilderness. All three avenues of temptation are presented to him. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And he overcomes all three, but he continued to wrestle with Satan. He only departed from him for a season, the Bible says. And my friends, our Lord wrestled with false teachers of his day, didn't he? Especially those Jewish leaders who had embraced their traditions over and above the Word of God. He says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The wrestling matches through which you and I go are the same ones through which Jesus went. Now here's a question. What's the purpose of a wrestling match? I don't know about you. If I go into a wrestling match, I want to win, don't you? I don't want to be pinned to the mat and counted out. I want to win. Folks, when we enter into these wrestling matches that we've talked about, that ought to be our desire to win. We wrestle with God. We wrestle to the point that we receive from God the things for which we ask. We can prevail over God in that sense. When we wrestle one with another, it's not to divide ourselves one from another. No, it should be to come to an understanding, should it not, and to increase and strengthen our relationships with one another. When we wrestle with sin, it's in order to overcome that sin and be victorious. When we wrestle with false teachers, it's in order to convict and to convince the gainsayer and to prove them that truth prevails over error. My friends, we're in a wrestling match today. Do you know there's some people in our world who don't even know it? They're out there in the world, they're living in the world, and they don't understand that they're wrestling with God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world, he is the enemy of God. James 4, verse 4. My friend, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're an enemy of God and you're wrestling with Him every day of your life. You are siding with the forces of Satan and God is calling you to come out, isn't He? If there's any good reason to leave, it's the one that we just talked about, isn't it? What's the purpose of wrestling? To win. If you stay on the side of Satan, my friend, you will not win in the last day. Did you know that? Only those in Christ win. Will you believe in the Christ as the Son of God? Will you repent of your sins? Will you confess the sweet name of Jesus? And will you be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins? Peter told those Jews on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And they that gladly received His word were baptized. Acts 2, 38 and 41. Dear Christian, did you know you can depart from the side of God and go back to the side of Satan? Remember what Jude said? Some people we have to go out there and what? Save with compassion. Some we have to jerk out of the fire, hating the garment, spotted by the flesh. Is that where you are? We're pleading with you. Come back to the Father. Don't fight against God. You will not win. You need to respond to this invitation once you come as we stand and sing.